that there's an aspect of our fellowship with God that only comes from sharing that with other people. There's this verse in scripture where Jesus is talking to the Pharisees and he calls them whitewashed tombs because they acted in a certain way, but I don't think they really believed what they were doing. It's a scripture you can go on and read about, and it goes into much more detail than what we're going to talk about with kids. But kids, do me a favor. Raise your hand if you've ever heard of the Dead Sea. You ever heard of the Dead Sea? Okay, most of you have. You know what? I'm going to need a volunteer, and because of what we're going to do, I'm going to ask Maverick, my son, to help me. He doesn't know I was going to ask him. So, Maverick, you raised your hand. You've heard of the Dead Sea. Why is it dead?
I have no clue.
Okay, this isn't a joke. I was actually asking. That sounds like the start of a joke, right? The Dead Sea, most of you, there's more science to it, but if you don't know, the Dead Sea is dead because there's an entrance to it, but there's no exit. There's nowhere for the water to run to, and so it creates an environment where things can't really thrive. Did you know that?
No.
No. Okay, you learn something new every day. Well, I think us Christians can be pretty similar to the Dead Sea, where if we receive from God but don't share it with others, there's this fellowship with God that never actually takes place. Do you know what that means?
Yes.
That was a real short. Yes. Stop asking me questions. Well, I have this illustration to kind of help us with it. I've got this 2-liter bottle, and there's a balloon on it. Can you blow that balloon up for me? I didn't lip it or anything. You can... All right, now I'm supposed to be proud in front of all these people. Blow this thing real hard and fill that balloon up. Okay, you're going to hurt your cheeks. You guys ever do that when you were little? Your cheeks ache because you tried to blow it up? Well, I'm really messing with you because you can't blow that up. No matter how hard you try, you can't blow it up because there's no exit. Now, I came prepared. Okay, I created an exit. Let's see how it goes now. Try one more time, real hard. This is like the third illustration in a row. I thought I saw this going differently. You want to try one more time? No, you're giving up? Okay. Well, he's my son, so I can try. I think I've got stronger lungs. We'll see. Thanks, Maverick. You can sit down. Ron, I'm going to leave this up here for you to use during your illustration, okay? All right. He's not going to use it. I'm just leaving it up there. Well, that's kind of how it works with us if we don't share the gospel. We receive from Jesus, and if we just hold it to ourselves, that's not what he tells us to do. He tells us, and you'll hear some from Pastor Ron, to share that with others. And there's this aspect of life with Jesus, of life with God, that only comes from sharing that with others. Would you pray for me for kids to go off to Sunday school? We have nursery all the way through fifth grade, sixth graders, you're allowed to. I'll let you come up with me if you want. But let's pray for them before they go off to Sunday school. Father, we thank you. God, we thank you that, first off, that you give to us. Like we prayed earlier, that you bless us. But Father, you give to us in a way that, Father, I don't even know that there's quite words to explain it. Bring life and joy and hope and encouragement, Father, and direction. God, and if we keep that to ourselves, it's like there's an aspect of us that never continues to grow, that never goes towards you, our heart never leans towards you more, Father. I pray that this morning kids would see, God, not just this morning, but as they continue to come here and they go out in the world and they see people who love you, God, they would see for themselves people who I love you enough to share that with others, Father, that they would learn to do that at a young age. Father, that they would know for themselves who you are, the hope they have in you, the love for you that they have, God, and they would want to share that with others. God, we thank you for the kids this morning. We thank you for our time to share you with them. God, and we pray you would bless their time in their own area, up in Sunday school and in the nursery. Father, we love you and pray this in your name. Amen.
Well, good morning, church. I'm going to get a drink of water that I think got balloon powder in my throat. It's no surprise, everyone knows, as we have been around the church very long, that there's the expectation throughout Scripture for us to share the gospel with other people. And we have the Great Commission. There's different places, different illustrations, there's different parables that all talk about that, but it's something for most of us we're not very comfortable doing, or we're not sure what to do. And so what I want to try to do today is just try to maybe kind of take some of the mysticism behind this and some of the burden of it, and show us some just biblical ways that we can share our faith and in an easier way, and perhaps more just in a more natural way to do that. And just for a backdrop, I want to read out of 1 Corinthians chapter 9. This is the Apostle Paul. Verse 19 says, "Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings." And that last part is really what I want us to understand. This, he does this for the sake of the gospel. He's not, if you notice there's a lot of things could be said about that, and maybe sometime if I have an opportunity, I will preach on that. But basically, the Apostle Paul is not saying that he changed the gospel. He's not saying that he became unlawful to win those who are unlawful, or he became somehow, he was going to become an adulterer to win those that are adulterers, or that he's going to experiment with drugs so that he could somehow win those with drugs, or he's going to get a tattoo to try to win those with a tattoo. That's not what he's talking about. What he was talking about there, specifically what he's talking about, I will sacrifice whatever I need to do, my rights, what I would like to do, what I choose to do, so that I might have an opportunity to bring others to Christ. So I have some things you have on your notes there, but I went through the scriptures, and one of the things I wanted to look is what's some common denominators when you see, whether it's the Apostle Paul, Peter, anytime you see people sharing the gospel, things that are common, that they overlap, that maybe we can glean from. And one that almost always rises to the top is prayer. Jesus himself prayed. He tells us to pray for the harvest, for the workers are few, but the harvest is plentiful, it's bountiful, it's all around us. Prayer. Peter prayed. Paul prayed. If you're familiar with D.L. Moody, the great evangelist, he said this: every great work of God, you can trace back to prayer. Now, a lot of times when we talk about prayer, a lot of people, you know, whether it's physical or just in your thinking, kind of roll your eyes because, I just don't see that happening. But I want you to know, as far as I'm concerned, I am a product of prayer. I wasn't raised in a Christian home, but I think there's that opportunity for all of us to pray for the lost specifically. I've talked about, you know, having your own prayer list and praying for those. And then as you pray for those, look at four opportunities that God gives you to share the gospel, however that presents itself. It may not be any more than like gossip evangelism, like I talked about, that it's just talking up big all the things that Christ has done and done in your life. It may be something as simple as that. But as I thought back in my life, I had a secretary that was in our Wenatchee office. It was in February on my birthday. I flew home with my boss on a small plane down to Bend, Oregon. I was selling mobile homes at that time, and we bought product. And that was before I was a Christian, and it didn't take much of an excuse for me to celebrate. It was my birthday, so like usual, I indulged. And so I came back. Not only I don't do small planes very well with all that, but with a severe hangover, I wasn't doing very good. And when I walked in the office, the secretary noticed right away, and she said, "Can I pray for you?" I said, "Sure, give it your best shot." You know, I thought she was going to pray for my hangover. That's not what she was praying for. Some of you know the story, and I'm not going to go into a detail. I don't have time. But shortly before Grace Robinson passed away, she invited me over to her house. I went to her house, and we were sitting at the table, and she slid over a clipping from a newspaper, the Wenatchee World, with my picture in it from 1973. And told me that was 6 years before I came to Christ, told me that the Lord prompted her to pray for this guy. Prayer. I know my grandmother prayed for me because she thought I was a knucklehead, if nothing else. She prayed. In her simple Bible Belt belief way, she prayed. I am a direct result of that. And regardless where we're at, whether we're worried about COVID, No matter where we're at, we can pray. Amen? And we all can do it. It's a simple thing to do. Because we can seek the one that is going to intervene and send the hounds of heaven to people. And that's exactly what he did in my life. Pray for God to help you. You know, when I think about the Apostle Paul, his dynamic of ministry is, when he says, and he asks the people to pray for him, so whenever he speaks, that he can speak God's word fearlessly, you know, boldly, that he can have help in what he's saying to other people. If he needs it, I need it. In other places, Paul shares his heart because his ministry was really to the Gentiles, but he said in Romans 10 that pray for the Israelites. He was praying for his people. He wanted his people to come to Christ. He says he wishes that they all might be saved. Pray, we can all do that. And one of the things I'm praying, I'll just be real honest with you and transparent, I'm praying that God will change my heart. Because this environment, the last couple of years, has made it to where, number one, we don't have access to people like we used to. People aren't as comfortable you just showing up. Then sometimes when you do, there's so much conflict and tension that so I've been praying for God to help me to love people. Because I know no greater motivation than when we love someone. That's exactly why the Apostle Paul was praying for his people, because he loved them. We can pray like Paul, that he would help us to communicate the gospel, not only fearlessly, but clearly. Amen? Also, second thing is, just play your part. One of the things that was confusing to me as a new Christian, some of the training, some things I did, it was like, you had the responsibility to be a soul winner. So that meant no matter where the person was in a spiritual walk or not in a spiritual walk or in spiritual condition, I just felt like all that weight was on me, that I was to bring them to that place of conversion. That's just not how it works. I fortunately, and probably an occupational hazard, I've had the opportunity to share the gospel with a lot of people, maybe more than what a lot of you have. And I've seen a lot of people give their lives to the Lord and God transform them and through all of that. But the one thing that I found out through everyone when I talked to them, I don't think I've ever shared the gospel with anybody that never heard it somewhere before. That they couldn't talk about a grandmother that was praying for them or a mom. And can I just go off track a little bit? Hey, man, it's time to step up. I hear testimonies all the time of the faithful woman, Sunday school teacher at camp, the mom, the grandma that prays and shares, takes kids to Sunday school, and wears the head of the family. You can have a profound impact on winning your own family to Jesus Christ. We got to step up, church. It says this. In Corinthians, you've heard it. It's the Apostle Paul saying that I planted the seed, Apollos watered, God brought the growth or brought the increase, depending on your version. You see what it's saying there? It's not one person that takes it from the beginning to the end. And one of the things, I was thinking of Matthew chapter 13. If you're familiar there, one of the parables is the parable of the sower. And we're familiar with that. He sows the seed generously, not to a particular group. It's just kind of a sloppy throwing seeds all over. Because how do I know that? Because it's going on the side of the path. It's hitting the rocky ground. It's going into the thorns and the weeds. And every once in a while, some falls on good ground. That's how that parable goes. Think about this. Your part might be, because later in Matthew 13, Jesus describes what that meant, what that parable was all about. That seed that fell beside the path were those that didn't understand. And basically, the enemy came and robbed the opportunity from them. So think about it this way. What if When we share the gospel, or the gospel's been shared with somebody, or you're in that situation with somebody, and they don't understand? Remember a few weeks ago when I talked about the Ethiopian? What did Philip come up? He says, do you understand what you're reading out of Isaiah? He didn't understand. Perhaps all God would have you do evangelistically was help them to understand a spiritual question they have. All the way through there, whether it's the cares of the world, maybe there's somebody that's really seeking the Lord. They really like to do that, but there's so many things in their life, they just don't see how that can work, how they can juggle things, how they can change things. What if somebody come alongside them and showed them how? See, I'll tell you what, there's a lot of underbrush in people's lives. They might want to get on the path. They might desire that, but unless somebody clears that path for them, those weeds and things, the cares of the world, will choke that out. There's some of those that they spring up with joy. Maybe they come to a women's or a men's event or something like that, or they come to a church or a Bible study or a small group, and this is great news, but then suddenly they start fading away. Do we just say, well, that's too bad? See, maybe the part, the little part that we are to play is to come alongside them and help them understand how to walk out this Christian life. Just simply do our part. It may be prayer, it may be teaching, it may be encouragement, it must be coming alongside, it may be bringing somebody to church. Plan on being flexible. That's the one drawback, I think, to a lot of evangelistic programs. And there's nothing wrong with them. You've heard me say, if you've been around here when I was here before, I'm not going to complain about, like Dale Melody said, somebody complained about how he did evangelism. And he said, how did you do it? And he says, I don't. He says, I like my way better. So if you're doing something that works, I'm not critical. That's great. Do it. Continue to do it. But we need to understand, we need to be flexible. And in that, what if we thought about evangelism this way? That evangelism is anything that we purposely do that makes faith in Christ a possibility. Now, a key word is there, purposefully. We're to live a holy life. We're to be godly around people. There's a lot of things like that. But what if we just say prayed, and we thought, you know, purposefully, I'm going to go to my neighbor, and I'm just going to see how they're doing. Or I'm going to go to the widow lady, and I'm going to mow her lawn in the name of Jesus Christ. Or I'm going to go to the little neighbor kids that drive me crazy with their noise, and I'm going to see if they want to go to Sunday school with me. What if we looked at it a little different? Instead of a program that has to come to the end, that is God's work. Only God brings the increase. We need to be flexible and willing to approach people that we're trying to reach. When you go on a mission field, you do that in a contextualization, they call it. What's the context? Can you be flexible in that? When Teresa and I were, you know, when we retired and we're supposed to be gone for a year away from here, one of the things we went to Yuma a couple years, and the guy was renting from in Yuma was a Christian, and he had a small group. So we started attending the small group, and I found out from the small group that he was going down to Mexico a couple times a month to work with an orphanage down there. So I volunteered myself. You know, I said, I'm a pastor, love to go down there. So I went down there with him. You know what he had me do the very first thing? I'm thinking, you know, I'm a pastor. What do I get to do? You got an interpreter. I'm going to talk to all these people. Clean toilets. That's what he had me do. Clean up the dorm rooms. I didn't get to talk to anybody until we took some things out to the dump and fed some people who are living at the dump there. But that was the context in which we are in. That's what the Apostle Paul is talking about. Are you willing to sacrifice your rights and your preferences to share the gospel with other people? We have to be willing to go to the people who are good, that we consider morally upright. See, morality hasn't saved anybody. I prefer a moral person over an immoral person. Don't get me wrong. I would really like to see more morals in our country and our culture as it is. I agree, but that's never saved anyone. We are saved by grace through faith. That's not of our works. That's a gift of God. That's how every one of us enter into the kingdom of God. But some of us, I know, we don't even think about the neighbor because it's a nice guy. Or a coworker, she's such a joy to be around. But what does theology say? What does God's word say about that? If they're not in Christ, then they're going to face a Christless eternity, and that is hell. Separation, eternal separation from everything, darkness, weeping, and gnashing of teeth. Well, I'm seeing you're being encouraged, so we also have to be willing to go to the lost. Amen? That's what Jesus said he came. His purpose was, I came to seek and save that which was lost. We're to such a place in our culture right now that we don't even like to use terms like somebody's lost or unchurched or anything, because it's like we're being derogatory or racist, or I don't even know all the terms that's probably used for that. But I'm just telling you what the Bible says, okay? Take it up with Jesus. That's the Great Commission. Are you willing, in the days that we live in, to go to those that are not in your tribe? Because we have become tribal. And if it's tribal in the church, I guarantee you it is tribal out there. because we have all decided that we are going to gather around people who only think like us, who are of the same political or denominational, or we can come up with all kinds of little categories, because that's what makes us comfortable, and we don't want to hear anything any different from anybody, because they're wrong, and the gospel will never go past these walls until we realize that everybody needs Jesus. And no matter what you think or what you say, nothing's going to change them, only the transforming power of the gospel. And I have to ask myself that, because I'll be real honest. Jesus was friends with sinners, and I don't like a lot of them very much sometimes. They say things that offend me. They don't do things I want to do. They can be an embarrassment. I invited an unsaved guy one time to my small group because, you know, I thought that was a non-threatening place to kind of be around some Christians. And he was gracious. He says, "Should I bring something?" I said, "Yeah, bring something to drink." So he brought a half a case of beer. That surprised the small group. But we have to understand that. We have to be okay with that. We have to realize that one time, that's how you were. All I knew was I was blind, but now I see. We have to learn to practice respectful discussion. 1 Peter says this, and we've heard this a million times, I know. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared in season to give an answer to everyone who asks, and give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. When you look at the Apostle Paul's life, many times, because he wanted to win his people, he would go to synagogues. And it would say many times that he would reason with them. Now, reasoning with somebody can mean, in a sense, to argue. But typically, the meaning of that is to discuss things with them. It really means in the Greek to mingle thoughts. To bounce thoughts off one another, just to have a conversation with somebody on a, you know, without all the emotions to it, just say, "Hey, tell me where you're at spiritually. Let me show you what's going on in my life spiritually, how I got to where I'm at," that sort of thing. To ponder that. I think if we applied the golden rule to our evangelism, how would that change things? Instead of lobbing gospel grenades, you know, sticking a pamphlet under their door, turn or burn on their windshield or something. If we thought this, if somebody was going to come and talk to me about something I knew nothing about, that was foreign, that I may not even want to know about, how would I want them to approach me? Because the golden rule says this, so in everything. Do unto others what you would have them do unto you. This sums up the law of the prophets. So how would you like to have somebody interact with you when it comes to spiritual things? In a gentle way, in a loving way, in a way of encouragement, patiently understanding that maybe they don't get it. And again, theologically, remember what the Bible says? That until they are in Christ and Christ is in them, they have a nature, and the only nature they have is they're blinded spiritually. They are enemies of God, things of God. The cross is foolishness to them. To have patience and wait and see what God is going to do in a person's life through that. So let's look a little closer at 1 Peter 3:15. Notice it says answer. So somebody's asked a question. This isn't knocking on somebody's door. This isn't interrupting them in the parking lot. This isn't anything. Somebody said, which just happened to me last week. Somebody said, what do you do? And I always love that because it kind of takes all the air out of the room. They don't know what to do. I said, I'm a pastor. And their spiritual question was this. Do you have to go to school for that? And then the backup question, well, how much school? And what kind of school and that sort of thing? But I was able to have a little bit of a spiritual conversation because just simply because of that question. I was answering and I answered their curiosity. Sometimes when people are curious, I've had many times in my life where somebody in where premarital counseling or something like that, they're curious why are we called Free Methodist? Some of you may be curious about that. You know, with all the Methodists, how come we're free? Does that mean we don't have to give an offering? What's it mean? But again, because of a curiosity, it's an opportunity. I had a neighbor kid come over and say, nothing's free. My mom said there's nothing free, so you can't be a Free Methodist. True story. Answer questions. Gentleness. As much as possible, we're to live at peace with everyone, Scripture says. Be respectful to them. Be gentle with them. You know, sometimes people don't think that when people don't think the way we do spiritually, you can't be agreeable. Then you haven't looked at how Jesus is in the Scriptures. If you read the story in John 8 about the woman in the well, it says right in there, Jesus knew it right up front, that they brought her before him in order to test him and accuse him. All the wrong motives, they were up in his face. What does the law say, Jesus? Did he get all uffy and puffy? Did he get mad at them? No. Any of you who are without sin, pick up the first stone. The Apostle Paul described himself as gentle as a woman nursing a child while he was among them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, I think around verse 7. That kind of gentleness, that kind of reaction. And why did he do that? You can look in the whole context of that. He talks about what a model church they are and everything like that, but he says he wants to be able to evangelize. He wants to be able to share the gospel. So he worked day and night, and while he was with them, he was gentle. He was loving. Respectful. In some versions, it says reverence. It's a holy fear. It's being reverent around people, that just being polite, being courteous. We have to have the ability to stay focused, stay friendly, even when people try to bring up things that are irritating or try to change the subject. Look at Jesus with the woman at the well. She constantly, as he brought things to her mind, she constantly said, well, you Jews say we have to worship here. You say this, you know this. Respectful. There's all kinds of people. It was difficult because I tried to share gospel with a guy and he was more into believing in the supernatural, like ghosts and UFOs, and he kept coming back to that. And it was starting to, I was losing the joy of my salvation. I said, you know, that's okay. That's where he's at right now. Let's not talk about that. That's okay. Let's talk about what God can do in your life, because you told me yourself you do not like where you're at in your life right now. And I know that's not easy. I know some of those topics and some of the things that we feel very deep and are moved emotionally about in our Christianity and our belief systems. But how are we going to reach somebody who believes differently if we're just not going to talk to them? We're not going to engage. And ultimately, we need to proclaim the gospel. Amen? Jesus went through all the towns and villages, and you can find this many places that just kind of precursor to everything, proclaiming the good news. You remember it's good news? Not bad news. It's good news of the kingdom, healing every disease and sickness. There's that time where we have to show, but we also tell. Remember that in school? You ever do show and tell? Our grandkids came over, the twins. They're in Auburn. I thought a cool thing to give them for show and tell. I'd shot a coyote, so I gave them the skull. I knew that would kind of liven up the Auburn school district. You know what that means, show and tell. So now they know their grandfather is a pagan over here. First Peter chapter 2 says, to let our light shine before men, that they may see the good deeds and glorify our Father. So there's obviously this responsibility to be a good messenger so the message is heard. That's showing. The gospel evangelism, in a sense, is showing. Our personal testimony can be moving. And obviously, it's important to us. It was life-changing. But our personal testimony many times do not have all the elements necessary for people to understand the gospel and God's claim on their life. And if you want to see a good example, I've already shared a little bit about the woman at the well, because if you know that story, when it comes to the end of the story, this woman who was ostracized by her community because of her lifestyle that had to get water in the middle of the day in the heat instead of going early in the morning with the women, went back and engaged that whole community. Come and see a man who told me everything about myself, her personal testimony. And they flooded out, remember? But you got to read the last verse. Because then they say, I not only believe because of what you said, but we now believe that he's the Son of God, and we believe for ourselves. The gospel, what's the gospel to you? I mean, we should be able to share that. As simple as this, that my sin separated me from God. I'm not close for God. And God wanted to be restored back to me, amen, to all of us. And so we can use like the Roman road, and when I send out the Bible study questions, I have that on there, a simple form for you to use if you want to. But you can say, well, Scripture says this, that God so loved the world that he sent his Son. Or that God demonstrated his love for us, like for me, while I was yet a sinner, before I cleaned up my act, before I changed anything. And he died for me in my place, my substitute, to pay a price I couldn't pay. Because it's by grace. It's not anything I can do. It's not on any merit that I have. It's not anything I can change that's going to make God love me. He loves me. And because of that, he wants me to enter into the kingdom of God. And 1 John 1:12 says, to all who received him, he gave the right to become a child of God. However you do it, it doesn't have to be that hard. Because I have found that a lot of people are hurting, and I think it's been compounded in the days that we live in. And I think if we will just enter in conversation, not a program, just loving people, having a discussion, that you'll find that people will open up. As a matter of fact, I don't know if in the last 20 years I've ever asked somebody that has said something to me just in passing or whatever, and I said, is it okay if I pray for you about that? That they've said no. They may not want to come to church. I may know that they don't believe in God and maybe even consider themselves atheists, but I've never had anybody refuse to have me pray. And generally, when they say that, then I say, can I pray for you right now, right here? It doesn't have to be hard. Doesn't have to be a program. It can be natural. So let me challenge you with this. What are you willing to sacrifice for the sake of the gospel? For I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For it's the power of God unto salvation. First to the Jew, and then to the Gentile. Father, help us. We pray that you would give us boldness, that you give us eyes to see people as you see them, not through our filters of our own pain or our tribalism, but simply as you see them, as you saw us. Lord, help us to engage this culture that desperately needs you for your glory and for their sake, because we receive the blessing through that, Lord. There's a tremendous feeling of being obedient in talking about spiritual things. We should be speaking our native tongue, not only in this church, but out in the world. Gossiping about Jesus, his good works, his life-changing power in our lives, and praying for one another. Thank you, Father. Amen. Would you stand and we'll close with a song.